Merry Christmas from Three Creeks Church. We know that 2020 has been a year unlike any other, and the holidays might be different than we all expected too. We are here for you and praying that you can experience the gift of Jesus in a fresh way this Christmas. The following audio was taken from our first in-person gathering since March, and it truly was a joy to celebrate together. Our lead pastor, Joel, shares a different perspective on the Christmas story, the perspective of the shepherds. Regardless of where you are, how you are feeling, or what is going on for you, God wants you to know that Jesus came for everybody.
Well, Merry Christmas, Three Creeks. Say Merry Christmas under your mask to me. Merry Christmas. It's good to be together. My name's Joel, and I get to be the pastor here. And if you're here in the room, what's up? It just feels right to be together. And if you're watching online, we're thrilled you're with us. And soon, very soon, we will all be able to be together in the same spot. I'm already a little bit giddy. I have children in the room tonight, so I'm a little hesitant also. But, you know, the whole candle, silent night thing, it kind of gets my juices flowing. I like it a lot, and so I look forward to this moment. Last year, on Christmas Eve, I told a story that when I was in junior high, that I had the brilliant idea that if I could hold the candle just close enough to my forehead, I could make myself sweat. And I burned all the hair in the front half of my head off, causing everyone around me to begin coughing. And so I tried, it was fair warning to everybody in the room, and somebody wasn't listening. Because last year, a woman's hair literally caught on fire. And so the people behind her smacking her in the back of the head, trying to put it out. And so once again, fair warning in a couple minutes. You just never know what's going to happen at Three Creeks at a Christmas service. It might get a little crazy. Let me just ask a question to you. It's really more of a guess. It's an assumption. Wild guess. You've heard this story before. Like, you've heard the Christmas story before. Mary, pregnant, Joseph, donkey, Bethlehem, star, wise men, baby, candy canes. You've heard the story before. You get it, right? It's the most popular story in the world. You've heard it before. You've probably heard it once at least for every year that you've been alive. Another wild guess, from time to time, you've become numb to it. It has lost its significance. You didn't forget the story, but you forgot why it mattered, or you weren't thinking about it that much, right? It's just a wild guess. And the reason I know that's true, it's because it's true of me. Because I've heard this story for 34 years in a row, and from time to time, I get numb to it. It loses its significance. It's just the Christmas story. Something this year grabbed my attention like never before. Just one little part of this story grabbed my attention, and I think it's because of the year that we just lived through. I think it's because of the year that we just lived through. Have we ever experienced a time with so much division? Have we ever experienced a time where you felt like you had to pick a side and you were encouraged to dislike or hate the other side about everything? I mean, have we ever endured a time with as much division or separation or categories or favoritism? Can you remember a time where we have felt this way more than this year? That's why this one part of the Christmas story spoke to me so much. It just grabbed my attention because there's a part of the Christmas story that speaks to division. And it's just been sitting in my gut, in my heart, and I just want to share it with you. Just for a couple minutes tonight, I want to share this one part of this Christmas story so that you might not be numb to it this year in 2020. When Jesus was born, is it amazing to you who God chose to tell first? Is it amazing to you that when Jesus was born, God told shepherds before anybody else? Is that amazing to you? And if it's not amazing to you, then I would propose that you don't know a whole lot about first century shepherds. And that's okay. You don't have to know a lot about shepherds to come to Christmas church. Let me tell you about them. These are not young, strong men holding lambs in the fields. You guys, these are the outcasts. On every social ladder, shepherds are on the bottom. Best case scenario, it's the youngest son in a family. More likely scenario, former convict, can't get another job, so go out and hang out with the sheep, and you don't even have a home. You are a nomad. Shepherds in the first century, they can't testify in court. Nobody trusts them. They can't legally testify in court. No shepherds are married. No father in his right mind would give his daughter to marry a shepherd. There were sheep all day. They don't have a home. They're physically disgusting. They're socially distant before it was cool. And spiritually, they're completely rejected. They're not allowed to come to church. The religious people say, stay out there. You are unclean and you do not deserve the right to come in with us. Is it amazing to you, just for a minute, now that I explain it, that God went and told the shepherds first? He went and told the shepherds before anybody else, and here's why. Because from the moment Jesus Christ took his first breath, God wanted the world to know that he sent Jesus for everybody. He sent Jesus for everybody. From the first breath, he wanted the whole world to know, hey, everybody, I'm not playing favorites. I'm not doing the divisions thing. I'm not doing the categories thing. I sent Jesus for everybody. That's what God wanted us to know from the very beginning. And so if you know anything about first century shepherds, you would go, that is actually amazing that God would have went and told the shepherds first. If you had groundbreaking news, who would you tell? You wouldn't tell somebody at the bottom. You would try to find somebody at the top, somebody with the most followers, to get the word out. God tells shepherds. He did it to prove that he wasn't going to play favorites. Every other perk in life doesn't work this way. Every other perk in life isn't for everybody. It's for certain classes of people. It's for certain races of people. It's for certain genders of people. It's for people with certain kinds of incomes. It's people from certain cities or certain neighborhoods or in certain nations. This is how the rest of the world works. This is how every other perk in the world, it showcases divisions and categories. Where this gospel, this good news of Jesus, he came and told the shepherds first to say, I'm not playing favorites. Jesus came for everybody. He said, no more division, not in the kingdom that I'm going to usher in. When I moved to Gahanna a couple years ago, I wanted to know our city. I felt called by God to come here and tell people about Jesus. I wanted to know the lay of the land. Where's the good spot to eat? Where am I supposed to work out? Where do you get a good cup of coffee? I wanted to know the people. What school do we go to? I wanted to know everything I could find out about Gahanna. And so I came and I met with a pastor who'd been here for 25 years. And I said, I want to know what our city is like. Would you just tell me, what's one thing you would want to know if you were me coming into a brand new city? He said, Joel, you just got to know there's an east side and there's a west side. And if you live in Gahanna, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In every other situation in your life, people are drawing lines and creating categories. And the gap between the groups of people, it just feels like it's wider than ever. And God came and told the shepherds first because he wanted everybody to know that he wasn't going to play favorites. First century, it's not any different than Gahanna. It's not even different than the world that we're living in. There's just as much separation. There's just as much division. Jews, Gentiles, men, women, rich, poor. And in a lot of ways, listen, in a lot of ways, it was worse. It was worse. God comes, tells the shepherds first. Jesus came for everybody. It's kind of a precursor to the way that Jesus is going to live his entire life. Think about this for a second. It's just a sign of things to come, because then Jesus goes around and lives his whole life and doesn't play favorites. In fact, really the only group that he doesn't like is the people that think that they should be the favorites. It's all the religious people that think that they're higher than other people. He goes, you guys, you're in your own category. Other than that, I came for it. You know what I'm saying? It's the only group of people he didn't like was the people that thought that there should be favorites. So Jesus comes, he meets the man at the pool, and he meets the woman at the well. And he comes and meets rich Nicodemus and hangs out with poor Bartimaeus. He heals the Roman centurion's son, and then he goes and heals the Jewish mother's son. So he came, and in his whole life, he just doesn't play favorites. He says, I came for everybody. It's one of the reasons why people hated him so much. And then James. James is Jesus' little brother. James didn't even believe in Jesus for most of his life, and then all of a sudden, he starts believing in Jesus. He becomes one of the fathers of the first century church. And James, Jesus' little brother, wrote a book in our Bibles. There's five chapters towards the end of it. And he tells this story. He gives this illustration. And he tells us about how God feels about favoritism and division and separation. He tells us how God feels about it. He says in James 2, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. Suppose a man comes into your meeting, gold ring, fine clothes, rolled in a BMW, nice suit, fresh fade, nice shoes, looks like he goes to CrossFit. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, he's the man. Suppose this man comes into your meeting and a poor man wearing filthy clothes also comes in. Somebody doesn't look like you. Somebody you're going to have a hard time making conversation with. Somebody that based on how they look or how they smell, you go, I don't think they're from my neighborhood. You go, I think I recognize that person. And you wonder if it's one of the people that you drove by near Easton that was holding a sign that said homeless. That's what this person looks like. So suppose two men come in. GQ and homeless man both come in, and this is what James says. You can put it up on the screen. This is what James says about the heart of God in this moment. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, hey, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand there, sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? James says if we show favoritism, look what James says about the spirit of this. He goes, that is evil. And I read that and I go, well, dude, James, back up, dude. It's just a party. It's just a party. He goes, no, that is evil. Why? Why is it evil? To welcome only those in a class that you esteem or you prefer or you find easy to hang out with is a betrayal of the gospel itself. God told the shepherds before anybody else because the gospel obliterates the barriers that we've intentionally or unintentionally put up between us. God said, God came and said, I'm not playing favorites. I'm not drawing lines. I'm not putting people in categories. Even if they want to put themselves in categories, I'm not letting it happen. I came for everybody, and I came and I told the shepherds first before anybody else to prove my point. So what side of town do you live on? Doesn't matter. Jesus came for you. How much do you make this year? Doesn't matter. Jesus came for you. Does your house smell like a pine tree? Does your house smell like dirty laundry? Doesn't matter. Jesus came for you. Did you get here early and all your kids are wearing matching sweaters? Jesus came for you. Did you come in 5 minutes late, have to sneak in the back? World War III happened in the van on the way here. Jesus came for you. Are you watching online? Are you sitting here? Jesus came for you. Don't miss this. Are you married and you're hoping that you can hang on in 2021? You gotta know that Jesus came for you. Are you single and you're dying to be married? Jesus came for you. Are you a small business owner and you're wondering if you can make it through all of this thing? Jesus came for you. Are you a stay-at-home mom? Wow. What you are enduring. Jesus came for you. No matter where you're at on your spiritual journey, Jesus came for you, and he came and told the shepherds first so that you would know it for sure. Have you been a Christian since before you can remember? You've memorized Luke 2. Like, you know this story so well, you could recite scripture. Or did your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend make you come? It just doesn't matter. Jesus came for you. I'm talking to you. Jesus came for you. He came for everybody, and he went to the shepherds first to prove his point. So let me just close with this. Have you drawn lines between yourself and somebody else? Have you put yourself in a category? Does the category you put yourself in make you feel a little insecure, make you feel inadequate, make you feel a little unworthy? Have you let someone else put you in a category? The gospel obliterates those lines. It crushes those categories that we put ourselves in. For somebody in here, this is not new news. This is not groundbreaking information. Like we said, you've heard this story before. You've heard it so many times that you've become numb to it. It's not new news for you. The takeaway for you tonight, if you are a follower of Jesus and you know this story, the takeaway for you tonight is, have you accepted, is your identity wrapped up in a category that somebody else put on you? The takeaway for you is break free from that because Jesus came for you. And if you feel inadequate or worthless or if you feel discouraged, listen, let me just encourage you with something. Think about this. God in heaven looked down on you and thought to himself, you know, I love him so much. It's worth it for me to send my son to die for them. Wait a minute. What? God sent his son to die. So think about that on Christmas. That you were so worth it that God sent his son to die for you. That's unbelievable. And if you're here for the first time, or not for the first time, maybe you've heard this story before. You've heard the Christmas story. You live in America. You can't miss it. But for some reason tonight, the light bulb clicked on. And when I kept saying Jesus came for you, you for the first time just realized, like, you? You felt like I wasn't speaking to everybody else? Like, you felt like I was speaking to you? That's God. That's God. God gave us Jesus as a gift. And I hope maybe somebody's going to receive that gift for the first time ever tonight. And this is how the gift works. The gift works just like the gift that might be underneath your Christmas tree right now. See, for me, in a couple of days, we're going to have presents under our tree. My kids are going to wake up at 5 in the morning. They're going to wake me up at 5:01 in the morning. I'm going to stumble down the stairs, hope that the coffee machine worked, have a cup of coffee, and then my kids are going to try to find the presents with their name on it. And they're going to grab the presents. They're going to take it because it's theirs. It's a gift for them. They're going to take it. They're going to rip off the wrapping paper. They're going to throw it to me. I'm going to catch it like a good dad in the air and put it in the trash bag before it even hits the ground. This is the dad Christmas level that I'm on. You guys, the gift doesn't matter. It has no significance whatsoever until they take it. And that's how this gift of Jesus is for us. It really has no significance and doesn't matter to you. Even if you know about it, it doesn't have any significance unless you take it. And so I'm wondering if anybody in the room, even though you've heard this story before, even though you've become numb to it, for the first time, if you want to take this, the fact that Jesus is for you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus rose again for you, that Jesus waits for you, will you take that gift tonight? You receive that into your life, this special grace washing all over your life. I don't know where you're at. I don't even recognize a bunch of people that come in here. I just imagine that somebody's on a spiritual journey, and tonight's the night that they're going to receive that gift in their life. If that's you, if you're watching online, if you're here in person, if that's you, I wish we could have people up here. I wish we could have people to pray for you. We're not going to do that part of this thing during the pandemic, but we're going to try to make it easy for you. In fact, maybe this will go even better. Maybe this will be an easier way for you to respond. If you just text 3 creeks, one word, to 97,000, someone on our staff, we'll reach out to you this week and just set up a time. We can meet on a video. We can meet over some coffee. We would love to know where you're at in your spiritual journey and help you understand what it means to follow Jesus with your life. 3 Creeks family, listen. God told the shepherds first. He told them first. He did it on purpose. Because from the moment Jesus took his first breath, God wanted the whole world to know, I'm coming for everybody. Everybody. That is some good news. That is some good news. We need a little bit of that. Amen? Amen. Can I pray for you? Father God, thank you for this church that I love. This church has my heart. I'm so thankful to get to be here tonight. And I pray, Father, that somebody in here would be encouraged to break out of the category that they've put themselves in, to break out of the group of people that they feel like other people have put them in, that they would see themselves as worthy in your eyes, worthy to die for, God. I pray that would be a thought that bounces around a bunch of these heads for the next couple of weeks, that we would, when we think about Christmas, when we see a shepherd, that we would realize, holy smokes, God came for everybody. That's incredible. God, for the person who's in here, who didn't even expect you to meet him tonight, they just came because it's the right thing to do to go to church on Christmas. For that person who's thinking right now about giving their life to you, receiving the gift of salvation, I pray they would do it. I pray they would have the courage to do it, that they would make the best decision they've ever made in their life, that they would receive this gift that you came for them to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to pray with one of our staff here at 3 Creeks, please text 3 Creeks, all one word, to 97,000. That's 3 Creeks to 97,000. For more information about our church, upcoming in-person services, or community groups, please visit our website, 3creekschurch.com. And remember, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, Jesus came for you.